Begin the current daf, Masech de Bava Basra, daf Kuf Ayin Gimel. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the related discussion in the previous daf. And that is, we had introduced an incident that happened in the court of Rav Huna, which was Machligas Abaye and Rabba, which actually related back to the halacha of our Mishnah, regarding if someone says in the document that Ani Plani Baplani Levisi Yimona Mimcha, I borrowed this 100 Zuz from you. And it doesn't say who he is. So then we had a machlekes Abaye and Rabba regarding, so it doesn't say who it is, so how could he collect? On that, Rav Huna said, like Abaye held, that, yeah, we don't know who it is, it could have fell from someone else. Whereas Rabba said, that no, we're not concerned about falling. And what was the proof? The halach of our Mishnah. Halach of our Mishnah says that when you have two individuals of Yosef ben Shimon with the same name in the same city, so there are certain halachas that limit their ability, which is they cannot produce a document one on the other, because each one could say, well, you borrowed from me, no, and I gave it back to you, you borrowed from me. So that wouldn't work. Neither could anyone collect from them, because say, you borrowed $100 from me? No, it's the other Yosef ben Shimon. Now, however, the inference of the Gemara is that they could collect from other people. And the reason for that, said Rabbi, is because obviously, I'm concerned that one Yosef ben Shimon dropped and the other Yosef ben Shimon picked it up. So you see that that's not a concern, which Abaye said, no, you're right. The Mishnah is called Nefila Dechat, to say that specifically this Yosef ben Shimon dropped it and just happens to be this Yosef ben Shimon found it, that's not so common, and therefore you're right, that's not a concern, and that's why each one could collect from other people. But on that Abaye disagreed, Nefila Derabba, when it's coming in case, or when it says Mimcha from you, it could be anyone that dropped it and found it, there we would be concerned, and therefore you'd not be able to collect with it. That was their Machlekes. Now, that Agamar continues and asks, according to all opinions, because even Abaye agrees in the Halach of our Mishnah, that Nefila Dechad, when it's specifically to say that this Yosef ben Shimon dropped it, and to say that it just happened to be this other with the same name picked it up, that's not something we suspect, and therefore we say that we could collect this one, any Yosef ben Shimon that produces a document that says he lent someone else's money, the guy cannot tell him, well, not you, it's the other Yosef ben Shimon. And that is the Gemara, but Be'alohad the time then this, what we learned in the following Brice that says, Kashem She'im Matzin Shtachib Zelzeh, just like we learned in the Mishnah, that neither Yosef ben Shimon can produce a document of debt on the other Yosef ben Shimon, says the Braisa, Kach ein meitzin alacherim. So to they, each Yosef ben Shimon cannot produce a document that someone else owes him money, which is clearly not like the inference we made from the Halacha of Mishnah, but Ma'akim Miflagi. Ask the Gemara, what are they disagreeing about? Since Abaye and Rabbah both agreed that conceptually we're not concerned that this one person would drop it and this one would find it, so then what is it they're disagreeing about? So why wouldn't the Brice allow any one of those two Yosef ben Shimons to produce a document, which we would definitely assume that's not the other one dropped and he found it, why can't he collect from someone else? So that says the Gemara, Ba'isius Niknes B'Mysterika Miflagi. They're disagreeing regarding the concept of could Isis letters, which means the words of the document, could they be acquired just by handing over the document or not? That explains the Gemara. Tana Didan Sava, the Tana of our Mishnah held, as we said in the previous daf, Nefila Dechad Lechashina. We're not concerned that Yosef ben Shimon dropped it and that Yosef ben Shimon found it. So what would you be able to say? That maybe one Yosef ben Shimon actually gave it to the other Yosef ben Shimon. On that says the Gemara, Isis Niknes B'Mesira. The Tana of Mishnah holds that even if he gave it to him, he would acquire it that way. And therefore, either way, whoever's producing the document, the debtor would have to pay to that Yosef ben Shimon. Because we're not concerned that it fell from one to the other. So what? So maybe he gave it? So even if he gave it, he acquires it that way and he could collect with that. But the Tana Bra Savar Ain Isis Niknes B'Mesira. But the Tana, this Brisa, which just quoted, holds that no, letters, documents cannot be acquired just by handing over the document. Oh, and that's why the borrower could reject any one of the Yosef ben Shimon that's going to come collect from him and say, no, this is not yours. It was given to you as a deposit. Because even if this guy gave it to you, you don't acquire it unless you bring me another document that shows that it was sold to you. But the fact that you're producing it doesn't mean anything. I could say he gave it to you and Isis are not Niknes B'Mesira. And then the other one, when the other one comes, he could say, well, you don't have the document in your hand. And when he gives it back, so he says, okay, maybe it's the other guy. Now, however, Rashbam does say, but if both Yosef and Shimon would join together forces and they would write a harsha, a permission slip, one to the other, then of course he would have to pay it because either way they're both agreeing that whoever's the one that's holding it has the right to collect it. But in general, the Brice was saying that if you don't have a harsha and one of the Yosef and Shimon produces a document and the other one, since Isis and Naknas bin Masiri, you could say that even though it didn't fall, but maybe he gave it to you and that doesn't give you the rights to collect with it. That's one approach. If you want, you could say another approach. The kuli alma oisius niknas b'mesir, that now everyone agrees that letters are acquired with giving over, even the tana of the price. So even without a different document documenting that and being used as the kinyan, as actually we pask in the halacha already and daf ayin zayin min alf, like Rebbe who holds oisius are niknas b'mesir. But v'hachem b'tzarech lehevi raya k'meflagi. Here their disagreement is regarding, do you have to bring a proof, meaning a proof and with witnesses that would tell us that the document was given over in front of us from this one to the other one, where to preclude the claim that, no, it wasn't given over to him, for him to acquire it, but rather it was given to him as a deposit, or that he just grabbed it away from the other person, which that's the machlekes, our mishnah and the tana of the brayso, so which, as the Gemara is going to explain, is actually the machlekes Abaye and Rava. Tana didan savar ein tzarech levi raya. The tana of our mishnah held, you don't have to bring a proof. Since everyone agrees, oisius and niknas b'mesira, and we're not concerned that it fell, so if I have it, so what's the concern? Even if it was given to me, it's acquired, and I don't have to bring a proof that it was acquired to me. Whereas the tana brasa v'tzarech levi raya, but the tana of the brasa held that although oisius could be niknas b'mesira, but the fact that you're holding it doesn't prove, and as the mefarshim explained to Rishayim, that because since it's not something that intrinsically has value, so therefore, you, although generally what someone's holding, we assume it is, here a shtar is different, and therefore he would have to bring a proof that this that he's holding it was actually given to him through a kinyan, that he acquired it, and it's not just that he has it as a deposit. Ditma, we learned, it's actually machlikis amirom. Aisyas niknis b'mesira, regarding this halacha that letters are acquired with just being handed over, that Abaye Amar Tzarech Lehevi Raya. Abaye said, but you have to bring proof. You have to prove that it was being niknit to you. Whereas Rava Amar in the Tzarech Lehevi Raya, Rava said that no, you don't have to bring a proof. Rather, we retain the chazaka that whoever's holding something, he's the muchzik in it. We presume that he's the one that owns it. That's how our Mishnah held, whereas the Braisa held the way Abaye said it. And that the Gemara continues on this discussion. Amar Abaye says, Minam Minyalav. And where do I know this, that you have to bring a proof that what you're holding, this document, is not a proof that you're muchzik in it, and you would have to prove that it was given to you through a kinyan, and only then would you work on the premise of Oisus Niknas B'Mesira, like the Tana of the Braisa held. That's why when they both have the same name, and we don't know if it was given to him, because he could say it was really the other person's, and you would have to bring a proof. Until you do, then you cannot collect from anyone else. To Tana, like, learn a Braisa. If you have one of the many brothers that there are, their father passed away, left over a whole estate, and now one of the brothers is holding a deed, either that was from their father or from some other lender, and he's claiming that my brothers gave it to me. And they're saying, it's not true, you grabbed it away from the estate. So on that says the Braisa, Allah lehevi raya. So that brother who's holding it has to bring the proof that they gave it to him. Until he can, he's not allowed to. The fact that he's holding it doesn't prove anything. He would have to give it back to the family estate. On that says Abaya, my love wa din lachrini. Isn't it seemingly innocuous that it happens to be that case of a brother, but really it would be any situation, any guy who's holding a document that we could suspect that it's not his, although he's holding it, he would have to bring a proof that it was niknatim b'mesira. And until you do, you have to bring a proof, like the way we said in the Braisa and the way Abaya is saying it. And then Rav Amar, he responds that no, Shani Achen, brothers are different, Dishamti Madadi. Brothers are very casual. It's very easy for one brother to grab it away from someone else. That's why the Braisa says, a level heavy riot. But someone else, you don't usually have that someone could be able to grab away someone else's documents. If someone has the documents, we assume that it's his. And as he said, as we said in the explanation of our mission is, that in its Arach Lehevi Raya. You wouldn't have to bring a proof. Now actually, Ikadami, those say the exact opposite discussion. That it was Amar Rava Manamina. Rava was said, where do I know this that I can prove that you don't need to bring a proof? The Tanya from that Braisa. The Braisa says, Echem and Achen, one of the brothers, Shashtar Chavitim Dachaz Yaday, that he's holding on to a deed that was from the family. So, and that says the Braisa, love the Hebrew Rise, he has to bring the proof. So says Rabbi, it sounds like Achen Hu Dishamti Madadi, only brother, that in a situation of siblings, then he has to bring a proof because it's very easy that he would grab it away, they'd leave it hanging around, they'd hang around each other's houses, then he would have to bring a proof. Avachrini Loi, but some other random person that they're not related, then he would not have to bring a proof, the way Rabbi said it. And Ved Vabayi, he says no. Achen Irtzukhale, now the truth is it would apply to even others too. But regarding brothers, we had to say that he has to bring a proof. Why? Because you would have thought to say, keep neshamti ma'adadi, to the contrary. Since it's very easy for brothers to take things from the brother, eimim izdar zehiwi. So I would say then to the contrary, that therefore that's why brothers are very careful, and he cannot be able to grab it from the brother, because they're very careful, they know it's very easily that a situation could happen. And therefore, you would have thought to say that v'loy tzrichi, that therefore the brother who's holding on to it would not have to be levi, right? That he would actually not have to bring a proof. Kamash Mulan, that even my brother has to bring a proof, but of course, says Abaye, the same thing would apply to others, that you have to bring a proof that it was nicknamed to you b'mesira. Then the Gemara continues and asks, now, adding on to the question that we started off the daf with, where we had the halacha of Mishnah that was disagreed upon by that brisa, continues the Gemara of Elohad de Tanya, but then this they were learned in the following brisa, which actually makes it a three-way machlekes. That says, Kishem Shemitzin Hein Shtar Choy Balachayim, just like we find that, as we learned in the Mishnah, that they could produce a deed against others, although they both have the same name, the fact that he's holding it, he could collect from someone else, says this Braisa, Kach Mitzin Zal Zeh. Therefore, they could collect and produce a deed against the other Yosef ben Shimon, which is not like our Mishnah. And that the Gemara says, B'mai Kamif Lagi, what's this Braisa disagreeing with the Halacha of our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, their disagreement is regarding, do we write a document for a borrower, even though the lender is not there? That the Gemara discusses elsewhere regarding, because what's the problem? The lender doesn't lose anything, but anything he gains. So you would seemingly, and that's the disagreement about, do we write, well, for the lender we don't, because that says that he lent, and maybe he didn't lend it yet. But for the borrower, seemingly that wouldn't be a problem. That it's regarding that halacha that they disagree about. Tana did answer the Tana of our Mishnah held that you write a document for the borrower even though the lender is not there, because if anything it's being mishabed himself, it's making himself liable to a loan which he's asking for, it so we could write it for him. But then we run into the following problem. Zimn to Azal Gabi Safa Vasahadi. So this Yesim and Shimon will go to scribes and to witnesses as a borrower of Amalu. He's going to tell them, Kisvili Shtari, write for me a document. I want to borrow from my friend Yosef ben Shimon. So that's not a problem. You want to make yourself indebted to someone else? Go ahead. If you lose and he finds it, he'll be able to collect from you. But you write for a borrower even though the lender's not there. But the problem in this situation is, Ubasad the Chasiv Chasmile. So after that, they write it for him and they sign for him. Nikitale, so he's going to hold on to it. In other words, he's going to think now to fool his friend and actually to collect with this document from him. V'amalein, he's going to tell the other Yosef ben Shimon, Havli Meya, the Yosef is Minay. Give me the 100 that you borrowed from me. Because it says Yosef ben Shimon borrowed $100 from Yosef ben Shimon. And he could claim that, look, I have the document. It must be I'm the lender and you're the borrower and you owe me. That's why the Mishnah taught us that Ein Yoch Lohitzi Al Chaveri, you cannot go ahead and collect from someone that has the same name, because then he might come to the courts like a borrower, and then he might go ahead and switch costumes and go to the other guy and say that he's the lender and the other one's the borrower. But Tana Brasav, in contrast, the Tana this Braisa held, you don't write a document, even for a borrower, unless the lender's with them, and therefore we could assume that both of them were there present when they wrote the document. And since they both know, and they're not particular, because obviously they both had to be there, and they both agreed to write this document, so they were not concerned anymore for any Ramoy, since we're not concerned that it fell, so what would be the problem? We only could write if they're both there. Obviously they're both agreeing. If they're both agreeing, we know whoever originally had it was the right lender, and the other one's the real borrower, and therefore, we're not concerned that it fell, so what would be the problem? Therefore, says this Bryce, so that you could write it even from one Yosef ben Shimon on the other Yosef ben Shimon. The Gemara continues to explain the halach of our Mishnah that said, Nimtza le'echad. If one of the, if a person finds, meaning a lender, Bein Shtereisav amongst his documents, that Shtereishal Yosef ben Shimon, that the document of Yosef ben Shimon, meaning who owes me money, is Perua, meaning he had a borrower, Yosef ben Shimon, and it says on the document that Yosef ben Shimon is paid, Shtorish Shneim Peruin V'chulu. So then, both of the Yosef ben Shimon's documents are considered paid up. Meaning he had lent both Yosef ben Shimon's, and he finds a receipt by his in his cache of documents that it was paid up, and now you don't know which one it is, both are considered paid up. He can't collect from either one of them. Now, Rashbam points out, although the Gemara says at the end of Shneim Eichsin, Al-Chofim Abezim B'Metziah, that when you have a receipt that's in the malva, in the lender's domain, that it doesn't have any validity, it's possible because maybe he had written it to go ahead and give to him when he paid up, but he never ended up paying up. So what's this halacha that we're describing in our Mishnah that is going to be considered paid up if he finds a receipt by his domain? That the Gemara there in Bava Metzia explains our Mishnah. It's talking about if he finds the document of the loan amongst his torn documents. Therefore, there is definitely a trail that seems to tell us that this receipt is kosher, because why does he have it amongst his torn up documents? Since that leads us to believe that it is paid up, not just that he had prepared a receipt just in case. So we assume that it is paid up. And therefore here, since it says that Yosef ben Shimon is paid up, so which Yosef ben Shimon? He doesn't know, and therefore he cannot collect from either one of them. Since he knows that this is a valid receipt, the guy paid up, doesn't know which one, he cannot collect from either one of them. Now, that the Gemara asks a fundamental question on this halacha of the Mishnah. Taima d'nimtz, it sounds like that since he finds a receipt that it was paid up, it just doesn't know which one, so therefore he cannot collect from either one. But it sounds like haloi nimtza, but if he didn't find a receipt that the Yosef ben Shimon, there could be both of them that he lent to, that if he didn't find the receipt, then motzi mapik, then he could collect. Question is, vanan, but us, v'loi achar, yocholoi t'alein shtar chayv t'nan. In our Mishnah, we learned that it says that you can never collect a debt from any one of the Yosef ben Shimon, because he could say it was the other one. So why are you saying it's only because you found the receipt and you don't know which one, so you cannot collect from either one? But what do you mean? Even without a receipt, we said you cannot collect, according to Allah of our Mishnah, from any Yosef ben Shimon anytime you have any document against them. So Amr Birmi, he explains the case would be talking about b'mushulashin, that in the document it specified and it went up three generations. So although they were both called Yosef ben Yaakov, but by the documents it said Yosef ben Yaakov ben Yitzchak, and the other document said Yosef ben Yaakov ben David. So since by the documents it said clearly who they are, so then you could go ahead and collect because you know which one it is. But then the Gemara asked if that's the case. So what's the difference? So even though there's a receipt written, but check by the receipt which one it was. Because you said it said which one going up three generations. So just like you're allowed to collect, we said usually by documents you cannot collect because you don't know which Yosef ben Shimon or Yosef ben Yaakov it is. But here it said three generations, so you know which one it is. So of course you could collect. So then check the receipt also, then you'll know which one it is, and then you'll be able to collect from the other one. Amar Rav Hayishi says, no, b'mishloshin b'shtar v'imishloshin b'shaver. The document, the loan document itself, went up three generations, which allows you to collect. But the receipt did not. The receipt just said Yosef ben Yaakov. And therefore, he loses his ability of being able to collect, because now we could presume that either one of them collect, because either one could say, mine is the one that was paid up, and the lender cannot contradict him and confront him, since he found both of their documents in the torn bin of the ripped of documents. So both of them have this indicating factor, and moreover, it says unspecified Yosef ben Yaakov. We don't know which one it is, and that's the case that the Mishnah is telling us. Then we consider both of them paid up because he cannot disprove any one of them when they say they're the one that paid up. Now, on that, the Gemara gives a different interpretation. Abayama, he says that actually the halacha the Mishnah is talking about when this receipt was found in the house of the loiva, of the borrower. Not as we had explained it up until now in the house of the lender. And Hachikam, this is what the Mishnah is saying. Nimtza lo loiva bein shtereisav, if the borrower finds amongst his documents a receipt that shtereishal Yosef ben Shimon olai, that actually the document of Yosef ben Shimon, which is on me, meaning that I owe Yosef ben Shimon, meaning that he was collecting from me, not like we set up until now that it was the borrowers that were Yosef ben Shimon. The way Abai is describing is that the borrower finds that the lenders, he had borrowed from both Yosef ben Shimons, that deed that was against me is perua, is paid up. So although he had two Yosef ben Shimons trying to collect from him, and actually if not for this receipt, both of them would be able to collect their documents from him, as we had explained the halacha of the Mishnah, that yes, as we had asked, that when they produce shtar chayv al chayim, they could collect. But now that the borrower has a receipt, now they both lose their ability, their chazakas, because we know that Allah is Yad Baal Ashtar Al Tachtayna, the one who has a document is trying to collect from the other one, he has the lower hand. So when each one comes and produces his document against his borrower, he's going to say, here's the receipt. And you don't know which one is the one that was paid up. So Shtarish named Purim, so we consider both of them to be considered as paid up. In other words, they're not going to be able to disprove him and say, I'm the one that's paid up. The incumbent proof would be on the collector, and until he has proof, we consider both of them paid up. But Rashbam does point out that he holds that if both of them came, however, with a harsha, which is a permission from each one to say you could collect from the borrower, then each one would be able to collect at least one of the documents from the borrower, because he admits at least that from the two documents, that only one of them were paid up, but the other one not, and therefore they'd be able to collect the lesser one from him. Now, however, Barashbam does say, if the bar would claim and say, no, I paid up both of you, and the receipt was written unspecified for both of you for that reason, then he holds that would be a valid claim. But again, if he agrees to both, that only one was paid up, So although that the lenders lose the ability to collect each one on their own, but if they would make a joint document, which would allow them to collect jointly, which they let the other one to collect from the borrower one document, that would work again if they do this harsha. Now, that the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of a Mishnah that said, so ketzed yasu, so what should these individuals do? How could they go ahead and ever do business with anyone? Because you can't do anything because the document might mean the other is ben shimon. So said the Mishnah, Yishalshu, they should write a third generation up, which would identify him different than the other Yosef ben Shimon. Or Chulu, or etc., or even if they have the same grandfather's name. So then we said, okay, write which one's a Kohen, which one is not a Kohen. Now, Tanur Lutna Braisim, Hoyu Shneim, if both of them were both, had the same grandfathers, and Kahanim, they were both Kahanim, then Yichtavudaris, then you should continue going up generations, go up a fourth generation. Write Yosef ben Yaakov ben Yitzchak ben Avram, and the other one will write Yosef ben Yaakov ben Yitzchak ben David, because that much so, we're not going to suspect that they have the same great-grandfather. And if they do, then you go up and up and up till you can differentiate between the two of them to identify that they could have commerce and then do business with other people and not claim it was the other Yosef ben Shimon. Now the Gemara continues in the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme regarding the piroin, the payment of a document, which we had said, if we don't know, what's the halacha regarding the being paid of a document? Says the Mishnah, Oyma Lebanai, if someone says his son at the time when he's passing away, Shtar Ben Shtaroisei Perua, there is a document amongst my documents that was paid up. The Enidea Ezu, and I don't know which one it was. Problem was, the one who borrowed from me trusted me. I never gave him back his document. And now I don't want to get punished in the world to come, in the world of truth, where you're going to be collecting from someone who already paid me up. Says the Mishnah, so the Allah is Shtar is Kulam Perun. So all the documents, we have to suspect that they're paid up. And he cannot collect from anybody with any of the documents, except from those borrowers who say, no, we admit that it wasn't paid up yet. But unless that they come forward, he cannot collect from either one of them. Now, but let's say nimtzal echad. Let's say it's found for one of the borrowers, Shum over there in the house of the dying person, Shnayim, that there were two documents that he had borrowed from the dying person, two different loans. So then, Hagodl Perua, Vakotn Ein the Perua. So we have to suspect that the larger document was paid up, but the smaller one is not paid up because when he says Shtar Ben Shtaraisa, a document amongst my documents, that sounds like only one document, not two. And therefore, this one who has two documents, therefore, if it was the big one, so he's not going to collect the big one, it's going to be a small one. If it's a small one, he'll collect that amount from the big one. So either way, at least that amount, he could collect from that borrower. Now, related discussion, Amar Rava, Rava says, Shtar lecha biyadi peru. If someone tells someone else, the document that I have in my hand is perua, is already paid up. So Hagadl Perua, Vakot Nein Perua, so if he has, let's say, two documents against him, so we have to suspect that the larger one is paid up, but the small one's not paid up. But let's say he says, Chayv Lecha B'yadi Perua, the debt that you have by me is paid up, which that sounds like whatever debt you owe me, even if, let's say, that debt was written into many different documents in smaller amounts, Shtar is Kulim Perun, so therefore all the documents are going to be considered paid up, because that's one big debt. Now, in this halacha, Amalei Ravina Rava, he asked to Rava, but El Miat, if that's the case, because if one reads Rava, it would sound like that when he says this terminology, it sounds like it's definitive. So he asked, if that's the case, Sadi Mechurulach, if someone tells someone else, my field is sold to you, would sound like Sadi Gedele Mechurulach. So his large field is sold to him, just like he says, the document that you have for me is paid up, we said, okay, means the larger one. Sounds like if someone says, my field is sold to you, means the larger one. And if he tells him, Sada Sheyeshli Mechurulach, the field that there is by me is sold to you. So that says Ravina, are you going to say that means to say, Kol Sadaisa Mechurulach, that all his fields are sold to him? Because as we find other places, that a singular term like Sadei Edoim or Behemah Rabba could refer to multiplicity, to many. So if he says, Sada Sheyeshli, the field that I have, which can mean even many fields, is sold to you, that means all the fields? Because that sounds like Rav's halacha, when he was saying that chayv lecha biyadi or star lecha biyadi means even a larger amount. So here also it means whatever the largest is, that's going to be included. So what, he sold all his fields to this guy? And that says Rav, no. Hasam yad bal hashtar al tachtoin. And there the halacha is going to be, the one who's producing the document is going to have the lower hand. And the reason for that is because Amitza Mechabel of a right, the one who wants to take away from someone else, it's incumbent upon him the onus of the proof, which in that case is the consumer. When this guy said, my field is sold to you, so which field? We don't know. It's unspecified. And yeah, he would get only the smallest. But the halacha of Rava, to the contrary, actually was from that same rationale, but the other way around. When you say Yad Baal Ashtar Tachtoina, it's the lender. The lender was saying that this is paid up. So therefore, when he says, let's say, Chayv Lecha B'Yad Perua, the debt that you have by me is paid up, since that makes a flaw in the document, so now when he's coming to collect, we say that means to say all the documents are paid up already, because that's something that's regarding a flaw in the document. Whoever's trying to collect, he has the lower hand, and since he's making that admission, so then that's going to be absolving everything. But the other way around, of course, it doesn't mean. It's only that we have to suspect. When he says, this is sold to you, and this guy wants to collect, then of course he would have the lower hand, and it wouldn't be all his fields are sold. Rather, to the contrary, the smallest would be definitively sold. And anything more than that, the buyer would have to prove. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing on this theme regarding documentation and regarding the payment, the piroyin of the document. It says the Mishnah, Malves Chaveri Al Yidei Arv. Someone lends his friend money through a guarantor, which is if something happens and the borrower doesn't pay, so then he goes to the guarantor. It says the Mishnah, Lo Yiparim in the Arv. He's not allowed to collect from the guarantor initially, unless he first goes to collect from the borrower according to the law, and the court obligates him. And then if the borrower doesn't have what to pay, then he could collect from the guarantor, as the Gemara will ultimately explain this explanation in the Gemara in the conclusion of regarding this halacha of the Mishnah. Now, as we continue to Mitbeis, continues the Mishnah, Bim Amarloi, but if let's say he said to the this was the stipulation before, and the lender says, Amanasha Ephraim Misha Eretz, I'm lending the money on condition that I can collect from whoever I want to, then Yipar Min Arav, then he could collect even from the guarantor, which the Gemara will explain that there are actually words missing, and it will actually qualify this teaching. But the simple translation sounds like that he could collect even from the borrower initially if he made a stipulation. He says, "Im yesh nechasim l'leiva." He says, "If there are properties, dispossessions to the borrower, then benkech benkech liyipar min arav." Then no, either way, he's not allowed to go initially and collect from the guarantor, which sounds like, according to the simple translation, even if he made a stipulation by the arav, in contradiction to the halacha of the Tanakama, he's not allowed to collect from the arav. He would have to go to the leiva. V'chein ha yibshim gam liyimah. So too, Bshim gam made another safeguard for the Arab, just like he said over here, he can't collect initially from the Arab. He made another safeguard for the guarantor, which is Ha'arvli Isha B'Ksubas. If someone is a guarantor for a woman for a Ksuba, which is that he guaranteed when the husband wanted to get married to the wife, and he obligates himself in the Ksuba, the wife says, well, how are you going to be able to pay? Someone stands up and says, I'll be the guarantor on your Ksuba. Now, when he goes ahead, and V'hoye Bala Megarsha, and the husband's going to divorce her, and the husband doesn't have any properties, and now the guarantor has to go, you know, come up with the money to pay up the amount of ksuba from his own pocket. So another safeguard for the guarantors, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel did, was yadirena. He made that the husband has to make a vow forbidding himself from having hana, benefit, and it's a type of vow that has to be made on the condition and the consciousness of the public, which is a type of vow that can never be annulled. And therefore, that would make that he cannot remarry his wife after he divorces her, because she's going to be forbidden hana forever, and you cannot live with a wife like that. And the reason why we do this is because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was concerned that Shema, that maybe the intention of the husband was to remarry his wife, and what they gain is that then, because they have no money, we have no money, but I'll divorce you, and this guy will have to pay up your ksuba. Then you'll have a bunch of money because I had promised that in the ksuba. And then we'll be able to go ahead and have that money and use together for the two of us after you'll get the ksuba from the Arif. Which is because they're going to yasa kenunya, they're going to do this trick, the husband and the wife together, on the chasim shalzeh, on the assets of this guarantor, the acquisition, and he'll take back his wife. To prevent those problems, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said that no, if there's a guarantor paying the ksuba, the husband has to make a neder, which will forever forbid him from remarrying his wife. Now the Gemara explains the halacha of our Mishnah. And the Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason in the opening halacha of the Mishnah that it said that when there's a guarantor on a loan, that the lender is not allowed to collect from the guarantor? Which the assumption of the Gemara at this point is that the Mishnah is telling you you're never allowed to collect from the guarantor, and because it's not for that utility that a guarantor comes in regards to a loan. Which it's only if, let's say, if the borrower dies or if he's a fugitive, then you could go ahead and collect from the guarantor. But if the borrower is in front of us at the time when the lender is claiming his debt, since the guarantor provides the borrower in front of us, he's going to be exempt. So on that thing, what's the reason? Why is it that the guarantor, who essentially is guaranteeing the loan, if the borrower is there, he's not going to be liable for the loan? So Rabbi Rav Yisrael and Amar Tavaya, they both say, because the guarantor tells the lender as follows, Gavra Ashlimas Li, you deposited by me the borrower, in other words, on the condition that if he dies or if he runs away, that you'll be able to collect from my money. But Gavra Ashlimi Lach, but I'm going and giving you back this guy, and you can go to bring him to court, but I'm exempt, which was all about that you made him my responsibility. Now he's still around, I'm making him your responsibility. On that mask, Rav Nachman, he asked him this interpretation of Rabbi and Rav Yosef, and he says, Hai Dina, such a law that you're explaining the law of the Mishnah, that you cannot collect from the guarantor at all, is a judgment of the Parsai, of the Persians, of the secular courts. Because the assumption right now is what Rav Nachman was asking was, that that's how the Persians judge, where he says, okay, so he's not paying, I'm going to collect from you. He says, no. You gave me him, now I give him back to you. That's something that is how the Persians would judge. To which the Gemara actually asks, Adrabba, to the contrary. We've actually mentioned this previously. Basar Arva Azli. The Persians actually, what they do is that even when the borrower has properties, they don't go, they go straight to the guarantor. So what are you asking that the Persians do that? To the contrary, the Persians, not only do they collect from the guarantor, they actually go to the guarantor first. So why are you saying that if you cannot collect from the guarantor, that means that's how the Persians do? Rather, Gemara explains what Rav Nachman's question was, Beidina de Parsoi, it's like a Persian court, to loyavi taimud lemosayu, that they don't even give a logical, rational explanation for their laws. In other words, what he was asking was that this also doesn't make sense, that you shouldn't be able to collect from the guarantor at all, so then for what utility do you have a guarantor? Rather, it's obvious that the purpose of the guarantee, of the guarantor, was that if the borrower doesn't have money to pay up, then you could go ahead and collect the loan from the guarantor in place of the borrower. So how do we understand the halacha of the Mishnah based on Rabbi Reis' interpretation that you can never collect from the guarantor if the borrower is around, even if the borrower doesn't have money? So Elam Rav Nachman, rather Rav Nachman explains, as we had explained the Mishnah, Mai lo yipar min arv, what does the Mishnah mean when it says you cannot collect from the guarantor? Lo yitva arv tchila. You cannot initially go ahead and collect from the guarantor because the whole purpose of the arv was only that if the borrower dies or refuses to come to court or the courts make him liable and he doesn't have what to pay, then you could collect from the arv. But the Mishnah was saying, but if you didn't take those avenues first, you can't go first straight away to the arv. Actually, in contrast to the parsam, where they would go straight to the arv. Tanem hoche, similar in the brayis amavas chaveil de arv. If someone lends his friend through a guarantor, lo yitva arv tchili, and now they go ahead and try to collect from the arv first. But vim amar manash she'efrim and misha'etza, as our Mishnah said. But if he says, "I want to collect from whoever I want to collect him," then yitva arv tchili, then he could go ahead and collect from the guarantor first. But as the Gemara will ultimately explain, like the halacha of our Mishnah, that's only if the borrower does not have possessions. Only then could he go ahead and collect from the Arv. Now, Amar Rav Huna, he asks, in general, regarding this halacha of the Arv, minayin la'arv d'mishtabit, from where do we know that a guarantor could make himself indebted just by saying, I'll be the guarantor, without even doing a formal kinyan, an act of acquisition, from the lender to become obligated to him? Says the Gemara, like it says, a pasuk in Bereishis, Yehuda told Yaakov Avinu, don't be afraid to send on Binyamin to Mitzrayim. Anoichi Yervenu, I will go ahead and be the guarantor. Miyodi Tevakshenu, from my hand, you'll go ahead and ask to get Binyamin back from Mitzrayim. Don't worry, nothing's going to happen to him. So you see this concept of becoming an Arib just with one's words. Now, however, Maskevler Rav Chizda asked on this source of Rav Huna, Hakablonasi, that of Yehuda was not Arevis, it was Kablonis, which as the Gemara will later on explain on the next daf, that if the Arev, this guarantor, says, give him the money, the Mara, and I'll be the Kablon, I'll accept responsibility, there, that's a higher level of responsibility, where there, yeah, with just one's words, he becomes a Kablon, as is obvious from the Gemara later on, because in contrast, if the guarantor actually takes it with his hands and give it, there the Gemara actually says that the lender even can't even collect from the bar at all. And the borrower becomes like the kablon. But regarding with one's words, that works by kablonis. And the case of Yehuda was kablonis, and therefore wouldn't be a proof that arevis, which is a lower level of responsibility, that would work even without a formal kinyan and just with one's words. Because the chassid says earlier there in the pasuk, that in the previous pasuk, that Tena Oisai al Yadi, Yehuda had said, give him on my hands, v'ani ashevena, and I'll return them to you. In other words, as if I received him, I'll give it back to you, as if you gave it to me. That's kablanus. And that's also his words when he says, t'na'oisai, give it to him. That's words that a kablan uses. That's liability you could find, because he has a greater sense of responsibility with just one's words. But still, that doesn't prove that there would be a liability of a arib, which is a lower level of responsibility, even with just one's words. So Ella Amr Rabbi Yitzchok Mihalchi brings a different source, the Pasuk in Mishlei, where the Pasuk is talking to a lender. And the Pasuk tells the lender, Lokach Bigdei, take the garment of the Arav, of the guarantor, ki Arav, because he was a guarantor because of a person that was Zar, that was a different person. And you see from the Pasuk that he became a guarantor just with his words, because it doesn't say over there any terminology of Kablonis, like to give it, just becoming an Arav. You see that he became responsibility, and that you could even take his garment, which is the law of a guarantor, you could collect from him. And because of this other person, you go out and take a mashkin from him, collateral from him. So too it says in Mishlei, B'ni, my son, if you became a guarantor for your friend monetarily, then you have to stretch out to a foreign person your palm, your hands, to pay. Or if nekashtib imri picha, if you stumbled in the words of your mouth because you embarrassed somebody, nilkadutab imri picha, then you got stuck in the words of your mouth. Asay zois eifay b'ni v'natzel. So do this, however, my son, and you'll be saved from these two things. That kibasa b'kafir echa, this that you came to the palm of your friend, meaning that regarding monetarily, that now you have this obligation that you became its arv. Leches rapis, now you have to go ahead and be mezalzlin yourself, which, as we'll see shortly, that it's actually the word hisrapis, which also can mean denigrating, could also mean from the word of heter pas, meaning open up the palm of your hand and pay up, because you're a guarantor, you're going to have to pay. And urehav re'echa, which literally translates as that now your friend is a lord over you. But in our context, we can interpret it that because you embarrassed him, which is the other wrongdoing, that then the word Rahav is also related to Harbe, you then have to increase friends and request forgiveness from him for what you said about him. Which, as the Gemara explains, Imam and Yeshla Biyadecha, if there's money of his by you because you became a guarantor, so it's saying Hisrapis is Hitrali pieces yad, open up the palm of your hand, meaning give him the money that you have. Vimlav, and if not, you didn't do anything monetarily, rather you just embarrass someone, Hirbal of Rim, then you should increase friends and to send over friends to go ahead and ask him to forgive you. That's the way of taking care of the other problem. But again, you see from this pasuk, these psukim, a source for Arevis being responsible just with one's words. And as we see in this pasuk, then that becomes a liability that you become responsible to pay the money. However, Amar Meimer, he says, Arev de Mishtabed, this halacha that a guarantor becomes obligated in the payment of the loan, is Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yehuda, actually Machlekes Tanoim. And he explains, the Rabbi Yisi da masmachta kanya, according to Rabbi Yisi, that he holds that an asmachta, which asmachta is a halacha that if someone is saying he's confident in something not happening, so he promises, yeah, don't worry, I'll take care of it if it does. Regarding that halacha, Rabbi Yisi holds that even though we would think that the guy was just exaggerating, no, it is a kinyan and there is responsibility. So Arav Mishtabit. Same thing as a guarantor. He obviously does not want to pay it up, but he's saying, oh, he'll pay up. Yeah, I'll be a guarantor. He holds his liability, just like he holds that there's a kinyan by asmachta. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda d'ama asmachta lekanya, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he holds that in asmachta, there is no kinyan. Again, this is an asmachta because he's saying, if he doesn't pay you, I'll pay up. Now, any time, as the Gemara elsewhere explains, in Bab Metzia and Dav Samach Vav Mabez, when you say di'i, that if, that's an asmachta, meaning he's reliance, the word asmachta is the word of slimich, he's confident in his heart that, okay, the borrower will pay up. Now, had he known that he wouldn't pay up, of course he wouldn't get involved. Why should he spend that shell out money on someone else's loan? So, Rabbi Yehuda holds that an asmachta, a reliance like that, that's not a kinyan. A person does not become obligated in that. So, the same thing is arv lemishtabdi. So, the same thing is that the guarantor does not become obligated and not responsible in the loan, just like asmachta. Now, however, Amalei Rav Asher LaMeimer, he asked on him, but Hamaisa Mechol Yoim, this is everyday occurrences. The Asmachta Leikanya, the halacha is that we pass in the Rabbi Yehuda that an Asmachta, if someone is doing something and promising something which he's not expecting to happen, and it does happen, that he's actually not responsible, it's not a kinyan, and yet V'arav Mishtabit. Yet we know that the guarantors do become obligated in the loans. How does that go together? You said that they're along party lines. And if you hold Asmachta leKanya, then Arve is not Mishtabit, and yet we know that we hold Asmachta is not Kanya, and yet the Arve becomes Mishtabit in the loan. So Elam Ravashi, rather, he explains that Bahu Anoda Komehemele, in that pleasure that he's being trusted by the lender, Gamar Umishtabit Navshi, he's conclusive and he makes himself obligated wholeheartedly because it's through the agency of the guarantor that the lender decides to lend the money, and therefore becomes as if he himself is borrowing from the lender, and thus that's how he becomes obligated. So he holds that actually everyone, even Yehuda holds Asmachta leKanya, would hold that the Arv is Mishtabed, because that benefit is itself, as we've explained many times in Shas, creates like a substantive thing to create a kinyan. Now the Mishnah said, Vim Amar Almanashe Ephraim Mimisha Eretzav Chulu, but if he said, although we said in the Mishnah you can't go straight to the Arv, but if he said, look, I don't want to get busy with this. I want that when the loan is due, I want to be able to collect whoever I want to collect from. So on that said, the Tanakhama, then they could even collect from the guarantor. Now, however, we're going to have a different reading of the Mishnah based on what Amar Rabbah B'Bachana Amar B'Yechanan qualifies the Mishnah. He says, Loi Shon, we did not learn, even when he says Amanas, that he can go collect from the Arab, Ela She'en Nechasim L'Laiva, only if there are no properties, there's no possessions for the borrower. But if the borrower has possessions, then you're not allowed to collect from the guarantor. And that is the Gemara of Amadiktani Sefer, but that was the Tanakhama. The Mishnah then continues and says, he disagrees. He says, if the borrower has possessions, then you're not allowed to collect from the guarantor. The inference is, the Tanakhama held, that it does not make a difference, that even if the borrower has possessions, and he says, I want to collect from whoever I want to, that it could go straight to the Arv, which is not like the qualification of Rabbi Yechanan that we just quoted before. So that answers the Gemara, as we alluded to in the reading of the Mishnah, reading Chisturi Mechzav Achiktani. To resolve Rabbi Bechana's qualification, he says that there are words missing in the Mishnah, and this is how it's supposed to read. Hamava eschaveri alidei Arv, if someone lends his friend money based on a guarantor, says the Mishnah, lo yifrim in Arv, as we said, in order to collect straight away from the guarantor. But if he said, I want to collect from whoever I want to, then Yifrim and Arv, then he could collect from the guarantor. But qualifies the Mishnah. But when did we say that? And this is how Rabbi Bochana had qualified it. When did we say this? When there are no possessions to the borrower. But if the borrower has possessions, then he's not allowed to go ahead and straight away collect from the guarantor, even if he said, I want to collect from whoever I want to. Now, then the question was, so then what's Reb Shimon Gamliel disagreeing about? So these are the words that are also missing. But V'kablon, says the Tanakhama, which we'll explain the next half, a greater, higher level of responsibility, then Avapish Yesh Nachasim L'Laiva, then even if there are possessions by the borrower, Yiparim and Akablon, you're allowed to go ahead and collect from the Kablon. If the lender wants to, he could go ahead and collect from the Kablon. So that halacha that we continue in the top of Kuf Ayin Dal Med Aleph, that Reb Shimon Gamliel Loimer, that he said in the Mishnah, that im yesh nechasim l'laiva, if the borrower has possessions, that's what he disagrees on regarding the kablin, that echad zeh v'echad zeh, that whether it be an arv or even a kablin, lo yifra mehen, then you're not allowed to collect from the arv, and you're only allowed to collect from the borrower. And it's on that, regarding kablin, that they're disagreeing. Concludes the Gemara, Am Rabba Bechana Am Rabbi Yechanan, Kamakim Shashana Rabbi Shimon Gamliel B'Mishnasein, wherever we have an opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnayis, in contrast to Bryce's, this law would not apply. Halacha Kamais Halacha falls to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Chutz, except for three places. Me'arv, which is our Mishnah, that the Halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, rather actually like the Tanakhama, that he could collect straight away from the Kablan, even if the borrower has possessions like the Rabbanan. And with Tzidin, the second halacha is brought in Misha Aks and Mesechtas Gittin regarding Tzidin. And V'ra'ayir Achreina, and the last proof, which refers to a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Perek Zabayir, which there's two Mishnayis regarding R'ayir, regarding a proof, which is a new proof that's brought in the courts, which it's the halacha is like him by the first halacha of the proof, but regarding the last halacha of the proof, the halacha is not like him. That's what we mean, R'ayir Achreina, the last halacha of the proof. It's regarding these three halachas that the halacha does not follow like Reb Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnayis.